Blog Talk Radio. I'm sorry, what did you say?
I said, no, she didn't tell me that.
Okay, I think I got a text from her saying that. Let's see. Yeah, I think 2 minutes ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, about 3 minutes ago. So we'll see where she's at. We'll give her a couple of minutes to get in. And how has your day gone for you?
Pretty good.
Pretty good. Amen. Are you able to take Sunday off?
Yes.
Amen. Do you normally work on Sunday? Amen.
Yes, but I took it off.
Amen. Now, if you have an emergency, then you have to go, right?
Mm-mm.
No?
Okay. No, I ain't going.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, amen. So your client has somebody covering him then?
Yes.
All right, amen to that. That's what's important.
Yeah.
All right, amen. Well, it's another fine day here in the valley. 100 degrees.
Ooh, it is fine. It's like 67 here.
67?
Yeah.
That's freezing. I'm out in here. We be in our coat.
Well, I had a foot on when I went out today.
All right, amen. Because y'all have been up in the hundreds this year.
Yeah.
So, 67, but that's probably welcome for sure.
It is.
Yeah, I can't wait till it gets down in the 60s and 70s. We should it'll probably be another month or so before we hit the 70s. Well, no, actually the 80s or the 90s regularly. We probably won't get in the 70s until November, December.
Then I'll be down freezing below.
Y'all be in Eskimo weather.
Yeah.
Yeah, by that time. No, I don't miss that. I definitely don't miss that. I'd rather have the heat than the cold anytime. But, well, I'll put it this way. I'd rather have the sun than the snow. Too extreme cold or extreme heat is just not good just not good, period.
Right.
Amen. How is your son doing?
He's doing all right.
All right, amen.
He's doing all right.
Amen to that. All right, so we're going to go ahead and we'll start with the welcome and that kind of stuff, and we'll see if Sister Mary computer updates by that time.
Okay.
All right, so I want to welcome everybody out to Yah's Global Kingdom Ministry. I'm Brother Miles. I want to say happy Sabbath, everybody. We pray everybody has had a blessed week and that you are ready to eat from the Word of the Most High. On this evening, we are going to be continuing in Yah's vision. This is part two. And this is going to be dealing with Jacob and Esau, with Rebekah and Isaac. We're going to look at that because we're looking at what happens when people grab a hold of the vision of the Most High. When they grab a hold of the vision, and sometimes it seems in my mind like it's saying when they grab a hold of the vision, but the vision of the Most High, that people react differently. They do things that they wouldn't normally do. And so in order to see the vision come true, then people will, we even have going to see somebody stealing the birthright because they caught the vision. And so we're going to look at it from Isaac and Rebekah's standpoint and then Jacob and Esau's standpoint. And as we move through the scriptures, I'm really looking to see how different people reacted when they got a hold of the vision, Yah's vision. And how do we, what are we supposed to be doing today if we take a hold of his vision? Because, we get caught up in life and, what we wanted to accomplish and, what the world says we should accomplish. But are our visions lining up with the vision of the Most High? And that's really the gist of this series. Are our visions lining up with the gist, with the vision of the Most High? With that being said, we want to welcome everybody in Pal Talk, in Blog Talk, on the Internet in general, whether you're in North America or South America, whether you're on the African continent, in the Middle East, the Far East, the European Theater, or the communist bloc countries. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ. On tomorrow, we will be celebrating, tomorrow evening, we will be celebrating the Feast of Trumpets. We want to invite everybody out to that, as many as can attend. We know that different organizations are celebrating. Some celebrated yesterday. Some are celebrating today. Some are observing tomorrow. So to those of you who have already celebrated, we wish you a happy Feast of Trumpets. We pray that the Most High's presence was with you and that you were blessed. To those who are celebrating tonight, we wish you the same. And for those that celebrate tomorrow, we pray that the Most High is with you in your celebration. All right, that being said, we are going to go ahead and do our statement of faith, and then we will pray in and jump into this precept. Let me have the ladies cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. Let us turn toward the east. Toward the city of Jerusalem. And as we do our statement of faith, I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1 verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of God of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep His commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. And happy Sabbath, dear Sister Mary. Glad you could join us.
Thank you.
Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise for today. Hallelujah, Father. We glorify you and we thank you and we lift you up on today and we magnify your name, Father. And we give you glory, honor, and praise. And Father, we can't wait for the day that you appear in the clouds and we hear those loud and wonderful trumpets of yours announcing your arrival. And Father, we just look forward to that day. We give you glory, honor, and praise on today. Hallelujah. And hallelujah to you, Father.
Hallelujah.
Let us do our, did we lost our train of thought there? Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all times. Father, we ask that you will forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquity of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep the statutes, your laws, and your commandments, in spirit and in truth. Father, you said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and as you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would return from our wicked ways and repent from our sins, and not complain about the punishments that you have placed upon us by scattering us into all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears towards your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you and that you have walked contrary to us. And, Father, we are repenting from our sins and turning from our wicked ways. And we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us into all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony. This is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for the seed of Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, a spirit of love for your love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that you call the Messiah, that they would hear your voice, that they would come and obey your commandments. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom, we ask that you smile upon this work and that you give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen.
Amen.
And our scriptures for today. Go to 1 Kings chapter 8, starting in verse 46. 1 Kings chapter 8, starting in verse 46. And I will personalize this in your hearing. If we sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with us, and deliver us to the enemy, so that they carry us away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if we shall bethink ourselves in the land whither we were carried captive, and repent in the land of them that carried them captive, that carried us captive, saying, we have sinned, and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness. And so return unto thee with all our heart and all our soul in the land of our enemies, which led us away captive, and pray unto thee toward our land, which thou gavest unto our fathers, and the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which Solomon has built for thy name. And hear thou our prayer and our supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain our cause. And forgive us thy people that have sinned against thee, and all our transgressions wherein we have transgressed against thee, and give us compassion before them who carried us captive, that they may have compassion on us. For we be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou brought us forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and to the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto us in all that we call for unto thee. For thou didst separate us from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. And let us get Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. May the Most High a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word in Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. The founding of the shofar.
Thank you. doubt, 'cause I have seen your faithfulness, my fortress, over and over. I have a home found in your name. I have a strength found in your grace, your faithfulness, my fortress, over and over. Make way to the water, walk me to the fire, do what you are famous for, what you are famous for. Shut the mouth of lions, bring dry bones to life, do what you are famous for, what you are famous for. I believe in you, God, I believe in you. Release your love inside of me. Unleash your power for all to see. Spirit, come and fall on us. Over and over.
Sarah wasn't privy to the initial promise, as far as, you know, it's assumed, since Abraham is married to her, that the promise that Abraham would be a multitude of nations would come through Sarah. But the promise was made to Abraham and wasn't made. So when the promise was given to Abraham and he had to talk to her about it, she gave him her handmaiden, Hagar, to be his wife. And she thought that, you know, perhaps the Most High would fulfill the promise that way. And then when the Most High came down on his way to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he was talking with Abraham, and he told him that, you know, as it stood, that the promise would come between from him and Sarah and not him and Hagar, nor would it be from, you know, somebody that was born in his house but not of his seed. And so when Sarah heard it, she laughed. And the Most High asked, well, why did you laugh? And so we know that this laugh that she did, Abraham laughed when the Most High told him, but it was, the Most High didn't take it that Abraham had doubt. But when Sarah did it, you know, he sort of took it that she had doubt in that she was able to conceive. So the fact is that she had the vision, and she wanted to help fulfill the vision, even to the point of giving Abraham Hagar. And so now we're going to look at some other people in the scripture from the eyes of Isaac, Abraham's son, and Rebekah. Okay, because we're going to see some other things here that people probably would not have done if it were not for grabbing hold and believing the vision of the Most High. So we're going to go and we're going to start this. We're going to start this in, let's go to Genesis chapter 15, let's get verse 18, then we're going to go to Genesis 26. Genesis 15 and chapter 18. And let me bring up my Bible. Because we want to look at when people get a hold of the vision of the Most High, then they will do those things, either try to cause it to come to pass, or to walk in his ways and keep his commandments, to do what's necessary when they grab hold of the vision. Chapter 15 and verse 18. And the word of the Most High, we're just reiterating the promise that the Most High gave to Abraham, and then we're going to look at Abraham's son and his wife. So Genesis 15 and 18. And the word of the Most High reads, in the same day Yah made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. So this is the promise that he's given him. We're giving you this land. I'm giving you this land. I'm also going to make of you a great nation, and all the nations of the world shall be blessed from you. And so Sarah grabs hold of this vision, and she believes, and she does what she thinks is necessary to make it come to pass. Okay. Now let's go ahead and let's look at Abraham's son. Sarah and Abraham's son that they had, whom the Most High said that the promise would come through. And let me arrange my screens correctly here. That stuff bouncing all over the place. Genesis chapter 26. And we're going to start in verse 1. And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. So there's two famines in the land. Abraham is sent into Egypt to escape the famine. And now there's a famine during the time of Isaac, his son. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And Yah appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell you of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you, and will bless you, for unto you and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. So Abraham tells him this. Now the Most High is coming to reaffirm this. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thee and to give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice. So if Abraham didn't obey the voice, then the promise wouldn't go to his son. The Most High would have had to find another. But if Isaac doesn't obey, then the same thing would happen. Okay? So Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, did what I told him to do, and he obeyed the Most High's commandment and my statutes and my law. So Abraham walked with the Most High, and he walked according as the Most High wanted him to walk. And so the Most High kept his covenant with Abraham. And now he's passing the same covenant to Isaac. Now Isaac could reject the covenant. He could reject the promise. Okay, and then we would have been in another place. But Abraham had to pass this to him in a way that he would believe and that he would grab hold of it. And when the Most High reaffirms it, you know, Isaac is just, he's walking in it. Dwelt in Gerar. So the Most High says, hey, don't go anywhere. Let's see what he tell him. Don't go down into Egypt. Now he told Abraham to go into Egypt. Now he's telling Isaac, don't you go down into Egypt. But stay here in this land and sojourn here. And so Isaac has to obey his voice. And the men of the place asked him of his wife, and he said, she is my sister. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar. And now didn't the Egyptians do the same thing to Abraham? Ask him about his wife? And did he say, she is my sister? And the men of the place asked him of his wife, and he said, she is my sister. For he feared to say, she is my wife. These said he, the men of this place should kill me for Rebecca, because she was fair to look upon. So Rebecca was beautiful. Sarah was beautiful. Both of these men were afraid that the men of the land would kill them for their wives. It came to pass when he had been there a long time that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out at a window and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah his wife. And Abimelech called Isaac and said, behold, of a surety she is your wife. And how sayest thou, she is my sister? How are you going to tell me this is your sister and you joking with her like this? And Isaac said unto him, because I said, lest I die for her. And Abimelech said, what is this thou hast done unto us? One of the people might likely have lain with thy wife, and thou shouldest have brought guiltiness upon us. So these people, they have a law that, you know, hey, you don't mess with another man's wife. But Isaac also knows, too, that, hey, these people will kill me for my wife. But Abimelech, the king, is saying, hey, what have you done? You know, we could have easily, you said she was your sister, somebody come and lay with her. Now, you know, it sounds kind of simplistic, but it's really saying somebody could have taken her as a wife, since you said it was your sister. And Abimelech charged all his people, saying, he that touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in that same year 100-fold, and Yah blessed him. So he obeyed the Most High. He had the vision. He believed the Most High. The Most High said, stay right here. He had a fear that, you know, the men of the land would attack him and kill him for his wife. He tells Abimelech the real reason that he says she's my sister, and then he sows into the land. That means that he actually, you know, either bought some land there, made a place to live there, and then he received 100-fold. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. Now, he inherited a lot from Abraham, and he has taken this, what Abraham gave him, and made it even, what the Most High has made it even greater than what he already had. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and great stores of servants, and the Philistines envied him for all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham, his father. The Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. Now, that's just, you know, low down and dirty. They are coming against his family, the Philistines, they're jealous of him and all the wells that Abraham had his servants to dig. The Philistines have gone back and done what? Filled them up with dirt. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, go from us, for thou art much greater than we. To leave, because you are more wealthier than we are, and you're greater than we are. And Isaac departed then, and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar, and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water, which they had digged in the days of Abraham, his father. So he goes back and re-digs these wells, you know, unstops them. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham, and he called their names after the names by which his father called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of spring water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, the water is ours. And he called the name of the well Ezek, because they strove with him. And they digged another well and strove for that also. And he called the name of that Sitnah. And he removed from them and digged another well. So he's digging these wells, and the Philistines are claiming that they're theirs. And for that they strove not, and he called the name of that Rehoboth. And he said, for now Yah has made room for us, and he shall be fruit, and we shall be fruitful in the land. And he went up from thence to Beersheba. And Yah appeared unto him in the same night and said, I am the Elohim of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and I will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he built an altar there, and called upon the name of Yah, and pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants digged a well. Then Abimelech went to him from Gerar, and Ahazeth, one of his friends, and Pethahiah, the chief captain of his army. And Isaac said unto them, wherefore or why come you to me, seeing you hate me, and have sent me away from you? And they said, we saw certain that Yah was with thee, and we said, let there be now an oath between us, and even between us and you, and let us make a covenant with thee. If thou wilt do us no hurt, as we have not touched thee, and as we have done unto thee nothing but good, and have sent thee away in peace, thou art now the blessed of Yah. So Abimelech and the people recognize this, that Yah is with him. And we haven't hurt you. We don't want you coming against us. And he made them a feast, and they did eat and drink. So in, verses 23 and 24, the Most High makes Isaac the same promise that he makes to Abraham. And he's with Isaac, okay? So Isaac believes this, and he is doing what the Most High is telling him to do. Isaac has a wife, and he has to also transmit this to her. But remember, the Most High didn't come and tell Sarah about having a child when he first gave the promise to Abraham. But he's going to do something different with Rebecca, okay? So he gives Isaac all the same promises that he gives Abraham, to give them the land, to make them numerous, that all the nations would be blessed because of his lineage. And he would have to remain faithful to these promises. And he would have to be committed to the covenant which the Most High made with Abraham. Okay, he had to do these things in order to receive. Now let's look at how the Most High deals with Isaac's wife, Rebecca. Now, the Most High comes to her before the birth of her two sons, and he gives her this prophecy. Let's go to Genesis 25. The book of Genesis, chapter 25. And let's drop down to verse 21. Genesis 25, starting in verse 21. Well, let's just start in verse 20. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padanaram, the sister of Laban, the Syrian. Now, we know Laban was, I think this was one of Abraham's kin. May even have been his brother. Don't take my word on that. I have to go check again. And Isaac entreated Yah for his wife because she was barren. Now, Sarah was barren. Rebecca is barren. Okay? And Yah was entreated of him, and Rebecca, his wife, conceived. And the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it is to be so, why am I thus? Why are these children fighting in me? And she went to inquire of Yah. So Isaac goes before the Most High and says, you know, my wife is barren, so you're going to bless me. I'm going to be, you know, many people are going to come out of me, many nations, and you're going to give all this land to my descendants. And so Sarah conceives, and she's impregnated with twins, and they are fighting within her. And Yah said unto her, two nations. And I want to look at this word nation here, if this is goy. It is goy. Apparently from the same root, a foreign nation, hence a Gentile, also figuratively a troop of animals, are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. So there's two types of people. The twins that she has, the two children, even though they're twins, they're not fraternal, or is that paternal twins, where they come from the same sack because they're struggling with each other. But they don't look alike. They're not identical twins. And they're going to represent two different types of people. Okay. And shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people. And the elder shall serve the younger. And so she's given this promise that of these two nations, these two children are two different nations, two different types of people. Now, she know that they are opposed to each other because they're opposed to each other in the womb. And he's already told her that the older is going to be the younger. So whichever one comes out first, he's going to serve the one that comes out second. And I believe when he says that one people shall be stronger, I think that the elder, when it starts off, is stronger than the younger. Because Esau was a hunter, an outdoorsman, and he actually became real powerful, if we read the whole story, while Jacob is off getting his wife. When he's returning to the land, Esau is powerful, and Esau comes after him with 400 men. Jacob doesn't have 400 men at that time. And Jacob is fearing that Esau is going to kill them all. So the one people shall be stronger, I believe that was Esau at that time. But the elder, the stronger, was going to serve the weaker, or the elder was going to serve the younger. Okay, in these verses. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out of his hand, took hold of Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 60 years old, when she bare them. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. So we got the father loving his first son and is by all rights going to bless him with the blessing of the firstborn and the birthright. And the birthright included the promises made to Abraham and to Isaac. Whoever the firstborn, those promises should have passed Esau should have became, you know, should have became many nations and a great multitude and all the earth, all the nations of the earth, the people of the earth should have been blessed through Esau being the firstborn. But Rebekah is given a prophecy, a promise that the elder would serve the younger. And this is the vision that the Most High has given her. So when she knows that Isaac loves Esau and that he would pass the promise given to Isaac to Esau, but the Most High had already determined that, no, I'm not passing the promise to Esau. And he didn't tell Isaac. He put this vision in Rebekah. So let's continue. Verse 29. And Jacob sawed pottage, and Esau came from the field and was faint. So Jacob was cooking some stew or, you know, some lentil and beans, something like that. And Esau saw it, and he was tired. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. Now, let's look at something here. Just for gee whiz, verse 30. Edom means red. So it wasn't because of, now it was the, he had red pottage, but he came out red and hairy too. So it fits him. But it says because of the red pottage, him wanting it, his name was called Edom. I guess eat him up. I don't know. Called Edom. And Jacob said, "Tell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die." Now he's over exaggerating this, okay? And what profit shall this birthright do me? What good is this birthright going to do me if I'm about to die from starvation? Now, this is him not valuing his birthright. But Jacob values it. And evidently, you know, I really believe that, that Rebekah has been encouraging him in this, you know, indoctrinating him in this, that, hey, the birthright is yours. Esau is firstborn, but the birthright is yours. So Jacob, whose name means the planter, he's going to try to do whatever he can to get this birthright. Now, I don't know if Isaac didn't sell this to Esau, didn't make the promise to him, but the Most High says, it says in the New Testament, in the book of Romans, that the Most High hated Esau even before he or Jacob had done good or evil. He had already chosen Jacob to receive the promise. Esau came out first. But the two people, two types of people that they would be, my understanding of this story and the history, Esau despised his birthright. He didn't value it. And Jacob valued it. Jacob saw the vision, and he wanted this vision, so he wanted to have and be a part of this vision so bad that he would steal it. Okay, but he didn't really have to steal it because the Most High had already said was what was going to happen and what was his will in this matter. But the truth of the matter is, he saw what was in Esau, that he didn't value his birthright. He knew that before, but he saw that Jacob would. Okay, so let's continue. And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die. What profit shall this birthright do to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day," and he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob for a bowl of soup, a bowl of beans, some stew or something. Then Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils. And he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright, sold it for a bowl of soup, a bowl of beans. Now, we can see where Jacob has the vision and Esau doesn't have it. And he doesn't really believe in it. He took it lightly. He despised it. But we still got Isaac to deal with. Because by all means, Esau is the firstborn, first out of the womb. And Isaac's going to pass his blessing onto him. But the Most High spoke directly to Rebekah and didn't speak to Esau about this. He told him, hey, I'm gonna bless you. He gave him the same promise. But when it came to the kids, to Rebekah. And now she's going to do what she needs to do to make this this vision come true the way the Most High said that it's supposed to come true, supposed to happen. So let's read this. And there was a famine in the land. Let me make sure I didn't do something. I think I clicked this twice. The second and one. And there was a famine in the land besides the first famine, and we just read this a little bit earlier, that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar, and Yah appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and will bless you. For unto you and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abram thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge and my commandments and my statutes and my laws. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar. And the men of the place asked him of his wife, and he said, she is my sister. For he feared to say, she is my wife, least that the men of the place. Just drop down. Because we know Abimelech tells all the people, hey, what have you done? Don't nobody touch Isaac. Then Abimelech tells, Isaac to leave the land because he's become too great. We know Isaac leaves from around Abimelech, and the Philistines are coming against him. Every well that Abraham dug, they were filling up and saying it was, that it wasn't his, until he finally dug a well in where's this place? Doesn't really say where this place is at. But he moves, he finally digs a well, and they don't fight with him about it. So he says, Yah's made room for him in the land there. And he multiplies him there. And then, let's drop down to read verse 24. It says, Yah's going to reaffirm this. And Yah appeared unto him in the same night and said, I am the Elohim of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he built an altar there and called upon the name of Yah and pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants digged a well. Then Abimelech went to him from Gerar, and Ahuzzath, one of his friends, and Phicol, the chief captain of his army. And Isaac said unto them, why have you come to me, seeing that you hate me and have sent me away from you? And they said, we saw certainly that Yah was with thee. And we said, let there be now an oath betwixt us, or between us, even between us and you. Let us make a covenant with thee, and thou wilt do us no hurt, as we have not touched thee, and as we have done unto thee nothing but good, and have sent thee away in peace. Thou art now the blessed of Yah. And he made them a feast, and they did eat and drink. And they rose up betime in the morning, and swore one to another, and Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. And it came to pass in the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him concerning the well which they had digged, and said unto him, we have found water. And he called it Sheba. Therefore, the name of the city is Beersheba unto this day. And Esau was 40. 40 years old when he took his wife Judith, the daughter of Beri the Hittite, and Bathsheba, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, which were a grief of mine unto Rebekah. So Esau, nothing has happened yet, but he takes two wives of the Hittites and not of his own people. Okay, and Isaac and Rebekah, they are grieved with this. Why did you do this thing? And it came to pass, verse 20, Genesis 27. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau his eldest son and said unto him, my son. And he said unto him, behold, here am I. Now remember, we don't have any record that the Most High told him that this birthright was not going to Esau. But Esau despised his birthright. Esau went and married some Hittite women. And the Hittites were Hamites. Okay? He married two Hamite women. And Rebekah and Isaac both are not pleased with this. Okay? But Esau has already sold his birthright. And he sold it as a young man. Now he's 40 years old. And he said, verse 2, and he said, behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. I'm old, but I don't know when I'm going to die. Could be soon, could be far off. But before I do this, I need to pass the blessing on. Now, therefore, take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field and take me some venison. And make me savory meat such as I love, and bring it to me that I might eat, and that my soul may be blessed, that my soul may bless thee before I die, that I may bless you before I die. Now the Most High still has not said to him that Esau is not supposed to get the birthright, and Isaac is going to pass his birthright on to Esau, because he is the firstborn. But the Most High gave Rebekah, his wife, the vision. And said, hey, there's going to be two nations in your belly, two different types of people. And the elder shall serve the younger. And so she knows that this means that the younger is supposed to receive the birthright. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, bring me venison and make me savory meat that I may eat, and bless thee before Yah, before my death. So your daddy's getting ready to pass the blessing on to your brother. And it said that Isaac loved Esau and Rebekah loved Jacob. But I believe Rebekah loved Jacob because the Most High told her that that's who the birthright is supposed to go through. And then he's doing things. He sold his birthright for a bowl of soup. So it wasn't his technically at this point because he sold it. He gave it to Jacob, sold it to him. But Isaac doesn't know that. And Isaac is about to pass the greater blessing and the spiritual authority of the family and the promises of the Most High and the vision of the Most High to Esau. So Rebekah is going to take action. Hey, I can't let this happen. Obey my voice according to that which I command you. She's going to direct Jacob to deceive his own father. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to to bring it to thy father, that he may bless thee before his death, that he's going to bless you instead of Esau. And she knows that this blessing that he's going to pass on is the greater blessing. He would bless both of his children because they're his. But the firstborn in the family is supposed to receive the greater blessing. And the promises of the Most High were supposed to pass through the firstborn. But the Most High says, I've rejected Esau. And in the New Testament, as I said, we read it that he loved Jacob and Esau he hated before they had ever done anything, before they had done good or evil. The Most High had already selected Jacob that the promise would go through. Okay, so this is will, and this is the Most High's vision that it would go to Jacob. He gives this vision to Rebekah. And she's going to do what's necessary to cause this to happen. Verse 11, and Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I'm a smooth man. My father, peradventure, will feel me and shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I will be to him like a deceiver. I'm trying to trick him. And I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. So Jacob knows, hey, what I'm doing is not right. And if my father finds out, he's going to take me as a deceiver and will curse me rather than bless me. And his mother said unto him, upon me be your curse. My son, only obey my voice and go fetch me them, the two kids, so that she could cook them like Isaac liked. Okay? But remember, this is the Most High's will. And the prophecy that she received, the word that she received, and the vision she received was that the elder was going to serve the younger. And so she's doing what, because she has the vision, she's doing what Yah wants. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meat such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, took some of his clothes, some good clothes, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. Now remember, Jacob is only a couple of minutes, seconds younger than Esau. We ain't talking about a year, two, three, 4 years. We're talking about twins. One came out of the womb first, Esau. A couple of minutes later, Jacob came out. Well, he actually came out practically the same time, because as they're pulling Esau out, Jacob has a hold of his heel. So before he can get completely out, Esau has a hand out. Okay, so they're technically born at the same time, but because Esau came out, they put the thread around him, he's the firstborn. Okay, but he's also different looking than Jacob, so I don't think they would have had a problem with that. Well, they're not identical. So the red one is firstborn. But the Most High said, told her, no, there's two in your womb. They're fighting in your womb, and they're going to fight in the world. But I've chosen the younger, the one that's going to come out second. And so she tells Jacob what to do, and Jacob says, hey, if I'm caught, my father's going to think that I'm deceiving him rather than bless me. And she said, the curse be upon me. So she's willing to take responsibility and say, hey, if you get cursed, let it be upon me for what we're about to do. You just obey my voice, because she knows she's doing what the Most High wants done. And she is deceiving her husband and helping her son to deceive her husband and cheating the elder son out of his birthright. And she put the skins of kids of the goats. Now, she found, I never caught this before. Let's go back to verse 15. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son, Esau, which was with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids Now, when he went out there and skinned these two goats, and he's supposed to be cooking these goats for a meal for Isaac, the way he likes it cooked, but he takes the skins and puts them on Jacob. So Esau had to be awful hairy. I mean, that's like animal hairy alike. If that's how he looked and that's how he felt, and if his father is going to rub these skins of these goats, think that they are his sons, that tells you how hairy Esau was. I mean, this is, he had to have hair growing on his back, his chest, his arms, his legs. Probably had a full beard, the whole face was hairy, to have hair like that on his arms. That, it felt like a goat. And she put the skins of the kid upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto her father and said, My father, he said, Here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto him, I am Esau, thy firstborn. Important. I have done according to as thou hast bade me, ask me, arise, I pray thee, sit and eat my venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, How is it that thou hast found it so quickly? My son, he said, Because Yah, thy Elohim, brought it to me. And Isaac said unto Jacob, Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. Jacob went near unto Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. So Isaac recognizes, hey, you sound like Jacob to me, but you feel like Esau. And he knew Jacob was smooth. And he discerned him not because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. That's a lot of hair. Esau could have braided that stuff. And he said, Art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. Now, he's deceiving his father, and he knows that he should be cursed for that. But the mother took the curse. And she was given the vision. Isaac wasn't given the vision concerning the two children. She was. And so Isaac is going to do the right thing, what is supposedly the right thing, the promise going to the eldest son. But the Most High said no. And he told Rebekah, no. It'll go to the youngest son, and the older son shall serve him. So she has the vision, and Isaac doesn't have this vision. Isaac just knows that in his seed are going to be many nations, and he's going to become a multitude of people, and all the nations shall be blessed of him, and all this land the Most High was going to give him as he promised Abraham. But of the two sons that he has, the Most High didn't tell him which one he was going to give it to. But he told the wife, Rebekah. Okay. And he said, Bring it near me, and I will eat my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near him, and he did eat, and he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, Come near now, and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him. The raiment that he was wearing was Esau's. He's still trying to, hey, you sound like Jacob to me. You feel like Esau. You sound like Jacob. I can't see really well. I can't discern by sight. But I know how he smells. Oh, these clothes smell like Esau. And the smell of his raiment, and he blessed him and said, See, the smell of my son is as the smell of the field, which Yah has blessed. Therefore, Elohim gave thee the dew of heaven, and the fatness of the earth, and the plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee, and the nations bow down to thee. Be master over thy brethren, and let thy mothers bow down to you. Cursed be everyone that curses you, and blessed be he that blesses you. And it came to pass that as soon as Isaac had made the end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was just scarce gone, just barely gone, out from the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from hunting his hunting. And he also had made a savory meat and brought it to his father and said unto his father, let my father arise and eat his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac, his father, said unto him, who are you? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled exceedingly. Now you can imagine how he felt. I've already blessed you, and now you're telling me you here, and that you're my son. Weren't you just here a few minutes ago? And he said, who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it to me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him. Yea, he shall be blessed. I've already passed this blessing on. I can't take it back. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said unto his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. Now, he's crying, and in the New Testament, it says that he sought, you know, he repented, and he sought his blessing with tears. And we're told he cried right here exceedingly. But Yah rejected him and rejected his repentance and would not give the blessing to him because his birthright. This ain't important to you. And so the two nations that came out of Rebekah was one that loved Yah and would do anything that it took to complete the mission that Yah had given, to complete the vision. And one that loved his birthright, and one that despised his birthright and wouldn't keep the vision. And when we look at that according to our own selves, when the Most High makes us his children and we don't find it important, then we could say that we're the seed of Esau. We're the descendants of Esau if we despise our birthright when the Most High makes us his children. Because just because we are born human beings don't make us a child of the Most High. It doesn't make us one. That's why Messiah came, that we might become the children of Elohim. But when the Most High chooses us and makes us one of his children, and we despise our birthright like Esau, how do you think the Most High thinks about that? How do you think that he looks at us as individuals? Oh, you despise your birthright like Esau. I chose you and gave you a promise and made you my child, because he didn't make everybody his children, and you despise your birthright? Or do you have the vision? Did you get a hold of the vision like Jacob? And once you know who you are, then you're going to pursue it and not despise it. You're going to do what the Most High wants done because you know what you have. Now, it's something for each one of us to think about. Because if the Most High has chosen us and selected us, filled us with his spirit, made us his child, and then we despise our birthright, we don't take it seriously, we don't do what we're supposed to do as far as what he tells us to do in completing the vision that he has for his people, that all the nations of the world would be blessed, because we really become part of the seed of Abraham in Messiah. And that's what it says in the New Testament. That we be by faith in Messiah. If we have faith in Messiah, true faith, then are we Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise that he made to Abraham. But when we get that, when we are begotten by the Most High, and we despise that, like Esau, do you think we continue to remain heirs to the promise? And it uses Esau as the example. Though he sought it with tears, he was rejected. He didn't get it. He's telling us the same thing. We have to realize and get the vision that the Most High gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that all the nations would be blessed through his seed, through Messiah. And Messiah said we had to become like him. And so when we don't do it, then we don't take it seriously, then we are acting like Esau. And we're despising our birthright. Now, Rebecca, she said, you know what, my son? I know what the Most High told me. I know the vision that he gave me. We don't see her even translating that to Jacob. She just said, hey, listen to and do what I say do. But Ma, it's going to make me a deceiver and a liar, and it's going to get me cursed. No, son, your curse be upon me. I'm going to do what Yah said do, and if I got to be cursed to do it, I'll do it. Because she has Yah's vision, and she has bought into it. And whatever it takes to make it happen, she's willing to do it. And she did it. And so we have to understand that that's the same mentality that the Most High wants us to have when it comes to bringing about his vision. And if the Most High gives you an unction and puts it in your heart to do something, then you have to do it. And in this case, you know, she lied, she deceived, she did whatever it took to make sure that her younger son, Jacob, the one that the Most High said would receive the birthright, received it. He didn't tell her husband that. I'm going to choose the firstborn, and I'm going to pass this blessing on to him. Let the firstborn despise his birthright. He didn't take it seriously. And then when he saw that he was bypassed, he cried. When he saw that the blessing went to somebody else, he cried. He snotted. Bless you. He got blessed. But he didn't get blessed the way Jacob got blessed. And the Most High didn't give him back his birthright. You sold that for a bowl of beans. So we have to take from this. We don't want to be the seed of Esau. Because when we get a hold of the vision of the Most High and we grab hold to it, then all the people that we have talked about so far, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac believed he was doing the right thing and the birthright should have gone to the firstborn, but the Most High didn't select Esau. So Rebecca did grab hold to the vision that the Most High gave her to bring about his will, and she did whatever it took to make sure that the youngest son received the birthright. And we have to be willing to do whatever the Most High tells us. Just be willing to do whatever it takes to bring about the vision. Be in his vision, and the vision today is that the gospel would go out into all the world. And that if he's waking us up as his people, that we would come back, we would return to him with our whole heart. If we are not one of his people, but of the Gentile nations, then we would come to him with our whole heart and obey him because of what Messiah did. Israel has to do the same thing because of what Messiah did, but come with our whole heart and write his statutes, his laws, his commandments, his ordinances in our heart and in our mind, and do them. That's what it said Abraham did. Abraham obeyed the voice of Elohim and kept his laws, his commandments, his statutes, his judgments. So I've met him, said, hey, it's a famine in the land. Don't go into Egypt. Stay here. And I will bless you. I will be with you here, and I'll bless you. He heard the voice of the Most High. He obeyed. And the Most High didn't use him to select the successor. Most High says, okay, you asked me for your wife, Rebecca, to get pregnant. She wasn't able to conceive, just like your father's wife wasn't able to conceive at first. And then the Most High put two people in him. Now, that's the will of the Most High. He could have blessed him with one child. He blessed him with two, twins. And this conflict that's going on has to be the will of the Most High to bring about what he wants. Because I rejected the firstborn before they were born. I rejected him. And he puts it in a harsh way. Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. For either one did good or evil. I'd already chose Jacob. And so he gives that vision to Rebekah, Jacob's mother, Esau's mother, Isaac's wife, and causes her to bring to pass the will of the Most High. Gave her the vision. She had the vision. Oh, this is going to be, you know, out of my husband and out of me are going to come many nations. But between these two children, the Most High told me is this one. And my first son, he's doing stuff to make us mad. He's going out and he's marrying these Hamite women, which we don't approve of. He should be marrying people from his out of his own people. But he's done, even before he didn't receive the blessing, he's already made them mad in this way. Now, because Isaac gave him the lesser blessing, Esau is pissed, mad. Now he's going to go marry another woman that his parents really don't like. Okay, so he's rebellious all the way around. And he's rebellious to the point that Jacob's mother is in fear of Jacob's life. Oh, you think you're going to keep the greater promise? Esau would have killed him. You stole my birthright. And this is the battle down through history. But there's two types of people. Those that despise the birthright and those that take hold of it and do what the Most High wants done so that the promise comes through them, so that they receive the promise. They have to accept and take hold of the vision of the Most High, take a hold of Yah's vision. And so we should examine our lives. Are we doing what Yah wants? And are we obeying his voice? Are we keeping his commandments? Are we keeping his statutes? Are we keeping his ordinances? Are we passing these same things on to our children? As I said, my children are aware. They haven't bought into this. And so I look at myself as a failure, at least so far, that I wasn't able to pass this vision, and probably because I received the vision late in life myself, pass this vision on to my children. So examine yourself. Sure. That whatever your vision is for your life and for your children's life, your grandchildren's life, that it lines up with the vision of the Most High. And if you don't know what that vision is, ask him. And ask him, what would he have you to do in this vision? So we are going to stop here for this evening. Tomorrow morning we will pick this up, and we will look at Jacob and his wives and what Jacob had to go through because he received the promise and how he received it. And then when he went to Laban, his father's brother. Don't take me my word on that, but I believe that's who Laban is, or Abraham's brother. That what he does for his first wife and what he does for his second wife, and because of that, then what do they do when they get the vision? What do they do? So we'll pick this up tomorrow morning where Rebecca has to send Jacob away because of Esau. With that being said, may the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. But I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Fear Yah and keep his commandments, saints, for this is the whole duty of man. Shalom, and enjoy the rest of your evening.
guns. All I wanna do is jump, lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptize, get dumped. I feel with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time, push a buck. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpachah, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't? Without you, there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. Pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect.
Shalom, brothers. Shalom,
family.
Shalom, family.
Shalom,
family. Happy Sabbath. Enjoy the rest of your evening. And see you guys in the morning. And we should have a great
Sabbath
tomorrow night.
Amen.
Amen.
And happy Sabbath to you, Sister Clara. All right. Shalom, everyone.
Shalom.
Shalom.